All right, listen, I'm going to jump into my monologue here, The Right Side Way. And I got to tell you, this one is actually pretty epic, pretty cool. A story broke this past weekend that, in my opinion, is not getting near enough attention. It's the kind of story that we need more of. It's the kind of story that they make into movies and write books about. It's reminiscent of the raid to kill bin Laden or to attempt the rescue of the U.S. hostages held in Iran. It was a special operations mission that was executed with precision, lethality, and success. But what got me in the middle of it all was the way it was described by one of the key spokesmen who presented the facts to the nation. He said that the heroism that day was on the scale of Judah Maccabee. Judah Maccabee. That's a key description. So if you don't know, Judah Maccabee was a stud. He was a freedom fighter. He was a Jew who lived in Judea in 139 BC. He led a Jewish revolt against the Seleucid Greeks who were oppressing the Jewish people at the time. The Maccabees were described by Greek general Bacchides as being, quote, stronger than lions, lighter than eagles, and faster than bears. If your opposing commander describes you that way, it means something. And for Israeli officials today to use a description of one of their own in a current mission as being on par with Judah Maccabee, it says that not only was there heroism, but there was also heroism that was known by their enemies, and it was needed to overthrow an oppressive effort to harm the Jewish people. It was also worth noting that Judah Maccabee was finally killed in battle, but that his death rallied the rest of the fighters, and eventually the Greeks were actually ousted from their lands. So the fight of the Maccabees is part of the foundation for the Jewish celebration of Hanukkah to this day. And to be described as a soldier in modern Israel as a Maccabee, that's high praise. And that is also a rallying cry. And that has some pretty deep, significant meaning. Look, on October 7th of last year, Israel suffered through their own version of 9/11. By a pro rata comparison, the number of deaths in Israel on that one day was larger by comparison to its population than 9/11 was to the United States. But it went beyond a single terrorist incident. It was a wholesale day of infamy in which innocent women were targeted for rape, babies were beheaded, innocent school children were murdered in front of their parents, and all of it was filmed so that Hamas terrorists could then, you know, laugh over it later. Hamas has used the images they took of their atrocities and used them as a fundraising tool. But then to add fuel to the fire, Hamas decided to take hostages. Hostages. Not POWs. Military members who were captured on the field of battle. No. They took hostages. Innocent civilians who were ripped from their homes, taken captive at a music festival, and carted away to use as bargaining chips and human shields. And by the way, five of those hostages are Americans. American citizens. And yet the Biden administration is soft on Hamas because they fear being seen as too pro-Israel by their liberal base. Look, Hamas are savages. Hamas's actions are some of the most savage, evil, and bloodthirsty the world has seen in the modern age. I mean, who does that? Who does these things? What kind of person acts like that? The kind of person that does these things is the kind that needs to die, in my opinion. And so as the soft hands of the campus protesters try to engage in the argument that Hamas and the Palestinian people are somehow the victims, Israel has set about righting wrong. For decades, I mean literally decades, Hamas has been a thorn in Israel's side. Rocket attacks, useless rhetoric, bombings. But October 7th, though, that was an act of terror writ large. And Israel has been at work ensuring that Hamas never has a chance to do it again. And this past weekend, after over 230 days of captivity, Israeli special operations conducted a rescue that was well executed and resulted in the rescue of four hostages. This past weekend, the 98th Division of the Israeli Defense Forces conducted what seemed like another military maneuver, but it was really a strategic diversion. You see, from the perspective given by liberals and their allies in the media, the war in Gaza is just Israel blowing up buildings and exterminating innocent civilians in the street, but not so. Hamas has tunnels and weapons caches everywhere, booby traps are prevalent, and the fighting is still very intense. Nearly 50 Israeli soldiers have lost their lives since the fighting began, with 24 of those being killed on the same day back in January. This past weekend, when the 98th Division moved on its targets, it drew the attention of Hamas fighters, and it served to distract them from the real target. And the rescue by Israel's elite counter-terror unit called Yamam, in the middle of the raid to rescue the four hostages, a massive fire broke out. A firefight broke out. Hamas fighters using small arms and RPGs fought back and were able to disable one of the Yamam vehicles, which put the mission in jeopardy. Israeli forces then launched a counterattack, an evacuation mission. We're told that Israel's Southern Command then launched additional forces to move in and set up a perimeter around the team. They fought throughout the operation, they shielded the four hostages, and during that mission, they lost a special operations commander who was mortally wounded and died later in the hospital. But four innocent hostages, they are now home. They were rescued. All four of them have been taken by Hamas while they attended a simple musical festival. Just unarmed, innocent civilians who were assaulted and abused and then dragged away to remain hidden and mistreated by Hamas for nearly 8 months. One of them was a young lady, 26-year-old Noah Argamani, a young lady who had been seen on a Hamas propaganda video screaming as a Hamas terrorist drove away with her on his motorcycle. She was later used by Hamas in another propaganda video in January, looking gaunt and distressed. Noah was returned home, reunited with her family, including her mother, who was dying from stage 4 brain cancer. Look, every bit of this story is just epic in its scale. The mission was over an hour on the ground. The planning was intense with mock buildings and rehearsals, operational security to make sure no leaks gave the target away. The target building was actually a civilian apartment building. The reactions from around the world and the world's media are classic as they try to say that Israel targeted civilians. Yeah, guilty civilians that were holding innocent civilians hostage. But like I said, there was also the tragedy of one heroic Yamam fighter who died from wounds received in the operation. And while the whole story is epic in its scale, one of the things that got me was how he was described to the people of Israel. Israel's defense minister said that his name was Arnon Zamora, and that he, quote, lived and fell a hero. The mission has now been renamed for history as Operation Arnon in his memory. It's said that on October 7th, back last year, Arnon Zamora had responded by taking up arms to defend the community of Yad Mordecai. But the reactions from officials about this mission this weekend and his death, they didn't stop there. Foreign Minister Israel Katz conveyed his condolences and then paraphrased King David's lament for King Saul by saying, "Your glory, Israel, is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen." Other officials also praised his effort, even likened him to the legendary figure, like I said before, of Judah Maccabee. You see, here's the thing. Israel does not see this as a mere fight. They liken this to the historical struggle to not just defeat an enemy, they liken it to the historical struggle to simply exist as a people. They invoke the words of King David and the memory of the Maccabees as figures who are based in part on faith, but also on the history of the Jewish people who have fought and died and then fought again against people who hate them simply because they live. Look, I suspect that all the campus protests, the flag burnings, and the media hand-wringing are not going to be what brings this fight to an end. I suspect that Arnon Zamora's death and the rescue of four innocent hostages and the fight this past weekend is going to serve as a rallying cry. I say that, I think Hamas's days are numbered. Israel's moving like Maccabees, and they don't show any signs of letting up. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, the bottom line is, when you hear them call out a fallen soldier in Israel and liken him to a name like Judah Maccabee, they're not just saying that he was a hero. They're invoking the spirit of what they believe he stood for, a legendary figure in their own history that stood for overthrowing the oppressors and clearing the land of the people that would do harm to the Jews. I'm just saying. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.